I was visiting in one of our elders' house one day, and I took this picture. Just kidding. Today we're going to talk about this passage. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This time of year, hopefully, we are enjoying the peace and goodwill toward men. And we would certainly hope and pray that this kind of attitude and disposition would be every day of the year. And recently, with the death of President Bush, many of us watched on the television all of the activities and all the kindness of things that were said, even from I don't know if you would say enemies, but opposite political positioned people who back in the day roasted him, but when he died, they loved him. What a beautiful place we could have in this old world if people did all they could to be at peace with all men. So I want to talk to us about that. I want to talk to us about doing all that we can. Well, first of all, we'll examine the idea if it's possible. Now, that statement in and of itself suggests that it's not always possible. There are people that are just hard to get along with. There are times when it doesn't matter what is said, done, there's going to be war. So the passage suggests, if possible. And we think about that, sometimes peace is not possible. Sometimes there's going to be war. And even the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ Himself, He didn't get along with everybody. And it wasn't because He didn't do His best or that He didn't try. Peace was just not possible with some people. Some people are just born in the kickative case and the objective mood. And if you're an English major, you might would recognize some of those vocabulary. But think about that. There are just some people that enjoy warring, being divisive, being ugly, being unkind, causing a disturbance. And I think they sincerely enjoy that. When we talk about getting along with other people, it's really hard to make peace with people that don't care what God says. I think as a general rule, most people in this world do not care about what God's Word says. They might even say, yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But when it comes right down to it, whatever God's Word says is insignificant. And we've seen that in our society, regardless of what God says about murder and there's abortion. Regardless of what the Bible might say about fornicators and adulterers, yet people live together. Homosexuality is rampant. And it's becoming more and more obvious that there are people that just don't care what God says. So when we are trying to be people of God, and we're trying to get along with people that could care less about what God says, there is going to be iron against iron. There's going to be sparks. A person that is a domineering overbearing kind of person. Best example I can give from Scripture about that would be in 3 John about Diotrephes. Diotrephes had this very domineering, overbearing personality that he made himself the ruler of the church. And he was casting people out of the church that were people of God. John called attention to that. And because of his actions, and here is John, the apostle of love. And he says, when I come, he said, I'll confront him. I'm drawing attention to what he's doing. So it's hard to have peace sometimes with that kind of personality. A strong or self-willed person. That description, a strong or self-willed person, I put that instead of saying stubborn or mule-headed. There's some people that just, they've got their mind made up and it doesn't matter what rhyme or reason is given, they're not going to change. So whether you're talking about our world of politics, you're talking about our next door neighbors, you're talking about the church, it makes it very difficult to be at peace with someone who is so stubborn they will not listen at any point in time to reason. There are people that just don't have any feelings for anybody else. There's no love for anybody else. And I don't know if you've met very many of those people, but if you've ever met one of those people, they're not somebody you want to be around. Because their whole disposition and attitude is all about them. And they could care less about you. In the business world of dog eat dog and trying to, you know, climb to the top of the ladder and stepping on and crushing everyone beneath you, they have no feelings for anybody else. They have no concern about anyone else. So to be at peace with that kind of person, that's not in their vocabulary. And then there's the arrogant person. The arrogant person is the puffed up person, the proud person. Whatever they say, whatever they do, it's the best. And there is this arrogance that they have that is very condescending and putting down to other people. These folks are hard to make peace with. Now, all of these attitudes and these dispositions are discussed in Scripture. We've been studying the book of Philippians on Wednesday evenings for a little bit. And one of the passages that comes to my mind that covers so many of these bases, Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, those four verses are concepts, truths, that each of us personally must apply to ourselves. And when you've got two people that have these kinds of dispositions, when they come together, at some point in time, life just happens to everybody. There's going to be differences. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreement. But when you've got people that are on this page, when they are together and they have a disagreement, they have an issue, they have a problem, they work it out to God's glory. But you can certainly tell when these kinds of characteristics are absent because there becomes a major deal, a major war, a major battle. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 made a statement that I think fits all of this. And he says that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Now he has a rather lengthy discussion about the body and each individual member of that body in this context. But what I'd like to suggest to us for our topic today is that we generally, as I've stated, we make enemies when we don't treat everyone fairly and the same. It's when we treat others different than we treat other people. That becomes very obvious. And when people feel like they're being treated differently, when people feel like they're being treated unfairly, when people feel like they're not included, that will cause a problem. When we're trying to make peace with all men, and we're trying to do all that we can, there's going to be conflict. And there are going to be people that we do not have peace with. But I would like to say that we must have the right disposition. We must have the right attitude. And we must try to do all that we can to make it possible. So far as it depends on you, I think it's important for us to understand that we have to do all we can. So if you're having an issue with somebody, you have to, in all good conscience, be able to say, I've done all I can. And be sincere about that and mean it. Not only that, you've done all that you can, you've done your part. Sometimes I hear Christians say, when they're at odds with someone, well, if they want to work it out, they can come see me. That is not what the Bible teaches. Even if you are not at fault, the Bible teaches that each, both the offended and the offender, have responsibility to come together and make it right. Book, chapter, and verse for that? Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked about when you are going to the altar to offer your sacrifice. Talking about in the setting of the old law. And you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering at the altar. Go make it right with your brother. And then come and sacrifice. I've never in all of my years ever heard a brother or sister say, I won't be at church Sunday because I realize that I've wronged a brother. And I realize that my worship will not get above the ceiling. I'm going to go make that right with him, and then I'm coming back to church. I've never heard anybody ever say that. Have you? You ever heard that? But I have heard, well, if they got a problem with me, they can come see me. Then you turn over a few chapters, and you learn in Matthew 18... And however your translation may render that, if a brother has offended you, you're supposed to go to that brother. So the one that is in the wrong needs to go make it right. The one that has been wronged needs to go make it right. And so you have here the idea that when there is a confrontation, both have equal responsibility to make peace. And you got to give your best effort. Did you try to make peace? Well, I called him one time, he didn't answer. That's your best? If we stop to consider that our souls are on the line here, You need to give it your best shot. And you try anything that's right, lawful, or doesn't violate your conscience to do make it right. You know, getting together with someone that you're enmity with may require you saying, "I was wrong." It may even require you saying, "I didn't realize how that made you feel. I'm sorry." It may require you saying, "I will never ever do that again." It may require you to say, "Please forgive me." It may require you to say, "I forgive you." And I'm saying that for most of us, those statements, many of us are not very good at saying. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." There's been many a church split. There has been many brethren that have divided. There have been many a home divided. Because those who were participating in that situation had hard hearts, were arrogant, were selfish, and not humble enough to do all that they can to make it right. Paul says, so far as it depends on you, be a peacemaker. Romans says, pursue peace. Pursue is the idea to give every effort to reach forward, to give it your best. Pursue peace. How do you really make peace with others, though? How do you do that? Well, Romans chapter 12 and chapter 13 is a great commentary about that idea. Paul talks about the Jew and the Gentile. In the Jew-Gentile world, there was a great war there. So Paul writes to the Romans, where there's both Jew and Gentile, and he talks to them in this particular passage about God destroying the enmity, taking down the wall that was between them. And he says, first of all, you've got to be really dedicated to God. How can, John would later say, how can you say that you love God when you hate your brother? He says, you cannot love God whom you have not seen, and you cannot love your brother whom you have seen. So that's what Paul's talking about. Secondly, it does take humility. Now, humility is something that we say sometimes. Sometimes we talk about that. But what are we really talking about? Well, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I want you to notice the language that is used there. Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul simply says this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So here's the person I'm in conflict with. We're trying to resolve this. Well, I think I have a measure of faith and I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, therefore I'm in the right. Understand that God has given that person you're arguing with the same things. So humility is that they we give way to, we give ear to others. If you're in a conversation and you never allow the other person to talk, you're not humble. Humble is giving way. Humble is being able to allow the other person to express. To have a sincere love. Notice it says sincere love. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Sometimes we may pretend to love someone when our actions show differently. So let love be without hypocrisy, Paul says. And then he says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Then he says, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. The day of a man opening the door for a lady and letting her go through first is becoming a thing of the past. Not that we're on public transportation in this area, but time and time again you see pictures or comments and so forth where, you know, an older lady gets on the bus and a young man is sitting, and what should he do? How about getting up and letting the older lady sit down? But what does it take to do that? Well, first of all, you need to get out of your own world. And you pay attention to what's going on around you. But it's this idea of love and humility and appreciation for other people. Really care and consider others. Really stop to think, if you say this, if you do this, how is it going to affect this person? And sometimes our response is, I don't care. I have a right to do this. I want to do this. So if it bugs them, who cares? Well, Paul says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Notice in verse 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Getting outside of self. And even being good to our enemies. We've talked about that. It's important in this context, you see. But even if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah, maybe it would be. If the roles were reversed, they wouldn't do anything for you. But that's not God's way. His disciples are to do everything possible within you to have peace. And this is the way you bring about peace. And be an honorable citizen. In chapter 13, it talks about the very idea of government. Why God has appointed government. And we all probably have some amount of disdain for the government. We see hypocrisy. We see all sorts of inconsistencies. We see liars. We see all sorts of things. And so we have little or no respect for and appreciation for what they're doing. So, that gives us the right, when government is hypocritical, to condemn them. And for us to speak against, for us to talk against, that's an easy way. But yet the book of Romans chapter 13 teaches us, verse 4, it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God and an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Now I want you to think about something. That verse was written to a group of people at Rome who are Christians, and the Roman government was one of the most hypocritical, godless people. And yet, Paul said, it's a minister of God. So, how do you really make peace with others? Having these kinds of characteristics and these kinds of qualities are things that are many times foreign to the way we really actually live our lives. That's why we have enemies. That's why we have problems. Be at peace. This is a command. Be at peace is a command. Peace means harmonious relationship, friendliness, void of bitterness, strife, friction, and enmity. When we as God's people allow ourselves to stoop to a low, that because someone has disagreed with us, someone didn't invite us to the party, someone has not really been kind to me, and therefore I'm not going to speak to them. I'm not going to even acknowledge they exist. Then we disobey the command, be at peace. What are we doing when we do that? When we treat unkindly those who may have unintentionally overlooked you, who may have unintentionally said something that hurt your feelings, who may totally unintentionally done something that really hurt you. So that gives us the right to declare war. So what this passage is teaching us, it's teaching us to give it up. To stop doing that. It's destructive to yourself. It's destructive to others. It's destructive to the church. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If I was to ask you, how many of you have been involved in a bar fight? I would shudder to see the hands that would actually raise. Well, we could say if you were in a bar fight, what were you doing in a bar, right? Secondly, if you got in a bar fight, it might not have been in your fault, but you shouldn't have been there to begin with. But we're the people of God. We're not in a bar. We're in a fellowship hall. Sometimes brethren have divided over fellowship halls. Every church is to have a fellowship hall. And this is it. Our coming together to worship God. The fellowship we have with God and the fellowship we have one with the other. We are in fellowship in this hall. How great it is when we come together and we don't have a bar fight. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a church when they had a bar fight in the fellowship hall. That is not pleasant. And that is not what God wants us to be. But think how unpleasant, tense, nerve-wracking, hurtful we feel when there is no peace. Are we prejudiced? I think most of us would like to say, no, no way, I'm not prejudiced. Really? Maybe we do extra for our family, friends, and loved ones, people we really like. All the Auburn fans together, all the Alabama fans together, all us one or two Kentucky fans together. Okay, we tend to compartmentalize. We tend to segregate in lots of different things. And sometimes we get away with that and there's no big issue. But sometimes, if not many times, it brings issues and problems. You see, this great text that we're talking about, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Maybe I go out of the way to be at peace with my wife for a good reason. I live with her all the time. So we need peace at home. What's the old saying? When things ain't right with mama, ain't nothing right. Everything's going wrong, right? Heath can get an amen on that. Yeah, okay. And it's true. But what about the rest of us? What about my neighbor? What about people we work with, go to school with? Did you know people just about any place at any time can say something bad and ugly to you? If you're a kid on a school bus, kids can be cruel. And they can say the most horrendous things just to get you to react. And it still hurts. But yet what God has called upon us as people of God is to let that be water on the duck's back. Just don't allow that to affect you to react in an ungodly way. And it's not just that I will be kind regardless of what the elders say to me, or regardless of what a deacon might say to me, or if the preacher says it. Now, we don't want to get upset about that. But then we go ballistic when anybody else says something to us about that. Aren't we not prejudiced? When yet it's supposed to be with all men. So, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, someone may say, Brother Salih, why does the Anderson Church of Christ need this sermon? Do you ever go home and ask yourself sometimes, why did the preacher preach that sermon? Have you ever asked yourself that? And you're probably thinking, I didn't need that. Michael needed that. Jimmy certainly needed that, but I didn't need it. The best time to talk about doing all that we can to keep peace is during a time of peace. Because it's easily taken for granted. It's great when everybody loves each other. It's enjoyable when we don't have people avoiding and not speaking to one another, who treat one another as if they're not even Christians. I don't know that that's being done here in any way, but this is what is called preventive teaching. Don't ever let this attitude be here. Do all that you can to be a son of God. Be a peacemaker. And there will be from time to time things that will come up that's going to hurt your feelings. It's not going to be the way you want it. It's not going to be the way you like it. And you may even think that the elders did that on purpose just to hurt me. Or that preacher, he got up there and I know he was talking about. He didn't say my name, but I know he was talking about me. And I will honestly say to you, most usually, I'm totally unawares. But when you preach the truth and you preach all the truth, there are so many things that I have not yet preached to you all. We've concentrated on a lot of things, and some of you think maybe too much on certain things. But there's been a reason. But there's a whole bunch of other things we need to talk about too. Oh, the depth of God's Word. How profound it is. But today, here's the lesson. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I want you to leave today making sure if you have any enmity in your heart for any soul, especially in this church, you make that right today. You first apologize and pray to God for forgiveness. And if this other person knows that you have been unkind and wronged them in any way, you make it right with them today. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And if somebody comes up to you, and probably you will not even know it, they come up to you and they apologize to you for what they've said or done. And I've had that happen a number of times in my life. Brother Salih, I want to apologize for what I said to you last Sunday after you preached that sermon. And I didn't even remember what they said, or it didn't bother me. But it bothered them. It hurt them. And they felt the need to apologize. And when that happens, when someone comes up and says that to you, tell them how much you appreciate them and that you love them and thank you. And yes, you are forgiven. And yes, let's move on like it never happened. We all need to hear that. And when we are at peace with one another and we are at peace with God, then and only then can we really come into this place and our worship ascend to the throne of God. Thank you for listening this morning. If you're not a Christian, you're at enmity with God. Because if you've sinned against God, your sin separates you from God. Now you can come and make peace with God by believing in His Son, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, to be baptized, to have every sin washed away. And now you can have peace with God. If you're a child of God and you in any way have enmity with anyone, if you have enmity with anyone and have not made it right, you automatically have enmity with God. So you need to make that right with God. You need to make that right with whomever it might be. And in one day, you can hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You're a peacemaker. You're a son of mine." If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus?